This morning, yesterday, I was touched by this parable that I read, and I ended up writing two sermons on it. And I'm still not sure which sermon I want to preach. So I tried to combine both of them. And as you've heard me say before, that works about like socks on a rooster. So that didn't work so well. So I'll tell you what. I'm just going to go for it and let the Lord do what the Lord's going to do. It has to do with a parable. And the parable is about the master and the workers of a vineyard. And whether we've ever realized it or not, this parable really talks about grace. I don't know, sometimes we talked about in class this morning about how we sometimes take things for granted. We don't really give them the attention that they need to be given, because everything that God has done is so good. Everything. And everything that he still does is so good. But if it weren't for grace, we will all be hellbound. That's a fact. It is grace. Grace, as you know, is God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price for our sin. So there may be some sitting in here today that says, you know what, I don't like that idea or that thought that we're a sinner. Well, you know what, you don't have to like it, but it's still true. I've come to the place in life that there's a lot of things that I don't like, but it don't change the fact of whether they're true or not. And being a sinner is one of them. And because we as people are sinners, we're born into sin, we will remain in sin until the grace of God touches our lives, then we've got an avenue to battle sin. But up until that point, we don't. Because Jesus is our salvation. He is our Redeemer. And there's several things that as I went through this passage, that it reflects on how we as believers are when we take our focus off of God. When we take our focus off of God. When we take our focus off of God, then we have a different perspective of things. And it's usually not the proper perspective. And that's kind of what, to me, this parable relates this morning. It can relate so many different things, but it relates, first of all, get this, the grace of God. Okay? And then secondly, it shows our own lack of focus many times in life. So in Matthew 20, if you would, please turn in your Bibles there, and I want to read verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And the Word of God says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day?' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. It is not lawful me to do what I wish with my own things. Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just truly thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word that we have today. And I just pray, Lord God, that we may truly understand, see how this word affects our lives, Lord God, each and every one of us in this congregation this morning. I just pray, Lord God, that we can take it to heart and desire a new beginning in our lives, Lord God, and that all things will be done for your glory and your honor. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Now, we can understand this parable because he's liking this parable unto the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom which is to come, the kingdom to which we are all going to be participants of one day. But he also tells us the heart of man. He also reflects where we in our human thinking, when we lose focus on what God is doing and place it on ourselves, how we go astray. You see, the problem here is that you and I, we need to focus on the proper thing. And it is not us. And our world teaches us that, you know, it's all about me. It's all about what I think. It's all about what I do. Well, I'm here to tell you that is not what the kingdom of heaven is made up of. It is all about what God does. And we see that in this parable, that the master who represents God himself goes out, he has a vineyard. And that vineyard, he needs workers to harvest that vineyard. And he starts at the beginning of the day and he goes throughout the day hiring different workers to come in. And at the end of the day, he calls them all and he gives them all the same wage. Now, whether we understand something or not, human nature says, this is not fair. I don't like it one bit. Why should they get what I should get, or at least I should get more? Doesn't that sound so human? Doesn't that sound so characteristic of what goes on today? It's just, I worked in the secular field for many, many years before I ever went into the ministry. And I cannot tell you how those of us that were hired first in a company, speaking of my last job, Universal Oil Products, we got a certain wage, and those that came on after us got more than we did. Well, that was not my choice. You see, when I hired on there, I hired on and agreed to the wage I was going to get. But I can tell you the grumbling and the griping and the complaining that went on because of those who came on afterwards were getting more than those who were already there was unbelievable. You know, I just told them I was thankful to have a job. I don't know about you. Because there's a lot of people standing in line to get it. Well, this is so typical of the church and the kingdom of God. When we aren't focused on what God desires for us to do. And I saw several different things in here that I want to share with you that is important. When we take our eyes off of God, we put our eyes on self. So self-absorption is the first thing that I've seen in here. And what is that? The grumbling and the complaining because things are unfair. I like what the master said to them when he said to them, who are you to tell me how to distribute my own things? Amen. Do you hear me? We're not going to tell God how to distribute what he owns. And guess what he owns? Everything. He owns it all. And yet the master, God himself, agreed to say, this is what I'm going to do for you. But how unhappy, how self-absorbed we get, and how grumbling and complaining we are because somebody might get a little more recognition. Somebody might have a little more power within the church. Which, first of all, power in the church is not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. The church isn't run by the power of man. The church is run by the power of God. And our eyes need to be focused on Him and Him alone. Or the church will break down and crumble under its own hand. The church today has become so self-absorbed. They have long since taken their eyes off of the Lord and put it on themselves. Why do I say that? I look around and I see how we got to have bigger and beautiful, more beautiful buildings. We got to have bigger and better this. We got to go into debt for this. And you know what? That which God is doing through us isn't good enough, so we got to become more supernatural. We got to do more super powerful things. Because guess what? Just out there preaching the Word of God and taking the gospel message and seeing people come to Jesus, that's just not enough. It needs to be more spectacular than that. You all know what I'm talking about, right? That's what we see today in this all this fantasy of what religion is. That's what happens when we take our eyes off of the Lord. Splits, divisions in the body of Christ. And every time there's another division is another opportunity for Satan to work. And guess what he does? He does. They grumbled and complained because things were not fair. Let me ask you something today. Is that how we're feeling? Do we feel that things are not fair in the kingdom of God? Well, it goes on a little bit further to explain that self-absorption when it comes to comparison. Another self-absorbed focus is when we compare ourselves with each other. They compare themselves, the beginning of the day, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour. They compared and said, look, when it come to pay time, why did that person on the 11th hour get as much as I did who have worked all day? You see, we can't compare ourselves with each other. God works differently in each of our lives. And you know what? Everybody in this building here today has come to Christ at a different juncture and a different place and a different time. We did not all come at the same time. And that's something we need to keep in mind with the kingdom of God. Because not everybody that is saved ever comes at the same time. That's why we, you and I, spread the gospel of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we do that. You see, but we'd rather compare ourselves with each other because we make ourselves look better than the other. These beginning workers, they thought they put more into it. They thought they did more. They thought they deserved more. You all understand what that word deserved means, right? How many times in our walk or in our life we've felt that we've deserved more than what we've gotten? We deserved more than what we have. Are we saying that God is unfair and how He's blessed us? I would pray not. Because the blessings of God are so much greater eternally than temporally. You want to hold on to something that you're not going to be able to hold on to? Most do. Does that even make sense? Why would you hold on to something you can't hold on to? You see, the kingdom of God is made up of that which we hold on to, that we take into the kingdom with us. Our integrity, our character, the truth of God's love in our heart. We take that into the kingdom of God. But if we lose focus, we become self-absorbed. We become comparing to one another. Well, why do they get more recognition than I do? They're a worse person than I am. They haven't paid the price that I've had to pay. Do we truly understand how that sounds? Do we think God does not know the heart and the intent of every living soul on this planet? Past, present, and future? Oh. I have learned something through my studies this quarter. I have learned what it means to not be anxious. I don't have it all down yet, but it sure is a whole lot better than what I was dealing with before I got into it. Because anxiousness is worry about something that, you know what, we need to turn over to God and let Him have. Be anxious for nothing, Scripture says. Paul, and Paul should know what he's writing about. Whipped, beaten, shipwrecked, you name it, he went through it all. And he says, yet, all of these things that I do with thanksgiving. Because my purpose is to bring glory to God and not to myself. But the human wants to bring glory to themselves. They want everybody to say, look at what he has done. That's a problem with Hollywood today. They think they're so much more important than they really are. They're actors. They're actresses. They're hypocrites. And I say that from the literal Latin term. They put on a mask when they're acting. Unfortunately, I think too many of them actually act what they are. That's not us. You see, we should be living out a life that is splayed and wide open because of the love of God. Well, so we take our eyes off of God, we get self-absorbed. We take off our eyes off of God and we begin to compare ourselves. Just like they did. We take our eyes off of God and then we begin to become presumptuous. They felt, hey, these 11th hour dudes, man, they're getting this a denarius. Man, that must be good for us. So they presumed that the master of the field was going to give them more. And they were hot because it did not work out that way. He said, why? He says, did you not agree to work for what I said I was going to pay you? What can you say to that? My friend, listen to me. The problem is there are many Christians today that also presume because we've been a Christian longer than others that there is going to be some special type of a payday for us over that one who may have given their life to the Lord Jesus at the 11th hour. Now, there are rewards in heaven that the Bible says. They may not have had that opportunity to build up a reward bank, okay? But their salvation is straight across the board as it is with every believer. My friend, don't presume that God's going to give us an extra blessing because maybe you've been saved since you were 12 years old and you have spent and gave your heart and your life to your Lord God every day and then resent the fact that somebody in their 11th hour came to the Lord and they're going to get the same as you got. There are many Christians just like that. Many. That think there's something at the end that's going to be just a little bit better in their salvation. Salvation is the same all across the board, my friend. To all people. And you know what? This parable demonstrates the fact that God calls people at different and various stages of their life. Some may run for a long time. Some may battle for a long time. Some may say and listen to ungodly people that tell you that there is no God and believe their lies. But one day, guess what? All will stand before Him whether they want to believe it or not. Just because you don't believe it, you better think again because it's still true. They say, well, I can't see God work. I can't see God. Oh, you can't? Look into the sky. Look at the stars. Look at the heavens. Look at the blade of grass. Look at the sun and the moon. Look at the heavens. You can't say that there's a God. Look at yourselves. Oh, my friend, there's more evidence for God than there is anything else in this world. I would just simply say, well, if that's your reasoning, then I don't believe in air either. Well, why don't you believe in air? Because I can't see it. So because I can't see it, I guess it doesn't exist. Yeah, it does exist. And you want to know why? Because I'm standing here. I'm breathing that air. I can't see it. It may take a whoosh by me every now and then. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not true and it's not there. And too many people that reject God are rejecting Him on a lie of the enemy. A lie of Satan. You see, now you get this. Satan wants to drag every soul he can into hell with him when he goes. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I want to stand here and I want to fight him. I want to stand in his way. I want to give the truth and just pray that one person will hear that truth. One person that I love and care about will hear that truth. You see, there's no other like him. None. Presumption. Don't presume anything about God. God has laid it out in His Word who He is. Amen? You want to know who He is? Right here, you'll get it. He is the same today as He was yesterday and will be tomorrow. He is unchanging or changeless. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You know. Amen? Doesn't that give you a comfort to know when you go to bed and wake up, God is still who God is? And you don't have to fret and worry and carry on that He is? That's what the comfort of this parable is to tell us. How much God is the same and how He loves all people. All people. You know, in verses 13 and 14, he says, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? You need to highlight that little phrase. If we think anything other than God is good, then we are thinking evil. Amen? That's right. Because our God is only good. And if that is part of His goodness, then we need to rejoice in it. How many are rejoicing in the Lord always and again? I say rejoice. Amen? Amen. Let your gentleness be towards all men. For the Lord God is at hand. Amen. Amen. He's not just at hand in his return. He's at hand right now in his spirit in our lives. Rejoice. Rejoice for that one that comes to salvation at the 11th hour. If you're cold-hearted and you're mean and you're unloving and you're unkind and you lack gentleness, then my friend, you better think again calling yourselves a believer and a Christian, because that's not part of the Christian life. Because we have been indwelt by the Spirit who flourishes the fruits of the Spirit out of our lives in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things we have, the fruits that we should be bearing. And if we're not bearing them, then don't call yourselves a Christian. You can say, that's pretty harsh. Well, it's pretty harsh because God said so. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be living under an illusion. Because if you think that and think you're that way and it's all okay, then, my friend, you're barking up the wrong tree. Because the tree that you're barking up, most of them are barking up the tree of works. Just because you did something for 30 years doesn't make you saved. Just because you've been in a church all your whole life does not make you saved. There are many that when they close their eyes for the last time will wake up and they won't be where they thought they were going to be. Because they placed their heart and their faith in the wrong thing. Faith outside of Christ is lostness. Lostness. It's so distorted today. The message is so distorted. You see, the kingdom of God is made up not like the kingdom of man. See, the kingdom of man is the more power, the more prestige, the more money, the more place in the world you have, you sit at the front of the table. But the kingdom of heaven is made up that the last will be first and the first will be last. And you want to know why? Because those that think they're first are doing things according to the way of man and not the way of God. And maybe that person is saved at the 11th hour, but in that short span of time, they have given their heart, their soul, and their mind to the work. And when we read this last part where it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen," is not talking about election. Okay, please understand that. Calvinists like to think that it is, but it's not. It's about service. All were called. Everybody there was called into the vineyard. But not all of them served the same. That last person that only worked an hour may have produced more than that person that had been there all day. You and I don't know. God knows. So if we have been a Christian all of our life, and we've absolutely got a fruitless life with no production, then how in the world can you and I say, well, we're going to sit at the front of the table, when that last person, that last hour, truly succumbed to the Spirit of God and gave all that they had that was left? You see, that's what the kingdom of God is. And see, my friend, we need to learn what it is to focus on God and not on man, not on ourselves. Because if we do, we will lose perspective. We will lose. It's just like that obscured glass that we all know about 99% of every shower door has obscured glass on it so you can't see through it. Well, that's the way the life is of a believer who is not following the path of Jesus Christ. It is obscured. You can't see through it. Things are fuzzy. This, and this alone is how you get clarity. There are many, including me, that have said, you know, I wished I could memorize Scripture. Well, let me tell you what. It is more difficult for me today to memorize Scripture that I should have been memorizing a long time ago. But I am determined to memorize what God places before me so I can have it. One of the verses that I've been working on is not only Philippians 4, 4 through 9, but I had a verse on one of my devotionals, Proverbs 12, 25, that talked about anxiety. Anxiety makes us depressed, but freedom from that gives us life. Well, the one right after that, that the righteous man chooses his friends wisely, but the wicked will be led astray. That, for some reason, just snapped for me. Not that I have a lot of friends or close friends. That's not the point. The point is, you know what? I want righteous friends. I want friends that call themselves believers and really love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, and mind. That doesn't mean I'm going to exclude myself from the opportunities of sharing the gospel with lost people, because I love doing that too. But I can't be friends with a non-believer, because we'll never be on the same page till he gets saved. And if I become friends with a non-believer, then they will draw me away from he who is most important to me. That's Jesus. And the work, and the thoughts, and the things that I should be exampling in my life, that we all should. What is your choice? God gives you a choice. He doesn't force you to do anything you don't want to do. He may try to put an obstacle in your life to lead you a different direction, but he'll allow you to fall over it if you choose. He'll allow you to go around it if you want to. But you need to be thankful of one thing, and listen to me. That is that he loves you, and he will never stop loving you, and he will never, ever stop trying to reach you. Never. And if you are his child and his child alone, then we need to surrender ourselves to him 100% of all that we are. And quit focusing on the things that distract us. Quit focusing on the things that draw us away from God. Because our enemy loves to put those obstacles in our path too, in any way, shape, and form that he can. You're the one that makes the choice of whom today you will follow. I love what Joshua said. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Men of families, it is your decision. Who will your family follow by your example? Joshua said it best.